Joining me on the phone from the sunny coast of BC is Mr. Graham Conway. Now, he is an internationally renowned ufologist. He has been studying them for some 50 years. I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning around the breakfast table here at CKGB, Mr. Conway. Now, you yourself, in your 50 years of studying UFOs, have you ever encountered any really hard evidence that they actually do exist?
No, I have not. And one of the frustrations that I have felt is that in the 50 years that I've been on this path of pursuit, I really and truly don't feel any closer to a solution than the day I started. I have a mountain of reports and documents, and in some cases some rather blurry photographs. But I have nothing that I could really and truly say is convincing me that we have visitors from another world, only a large accumulation of reports. And what I hear and what I see, I think, is a very small tip of a very large iceberg.
Now, with all these reports and encounters that you've had with these people who claim to have been abducted with aliens or have seen aliens, how do you determine if they're lying or if they're actually telling the truth?
I think most of them are telling a true story. They have nothing to gain from it. Many people don't want their names published. They're not seeking publicity. They tell, in many cases, what I would call a bare-bones story. They have an experience. They are, in some cases, quite familiar with air traffic in the area. They know that what they saw was nothing that they could normally identify. They tell the story for whatever it's worth, with an emotional content. And when I hear a story which I feel may possibly be a fabrication, I wait for a period of time, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. Then I phone them up or contact them and I say, I have a friend and I'd like you to tell him that story that you recounted to me. And then I bring them together and I say, oh, please go ahead and tell him what you told me. And I sit back and listen. And I hear the same degree of excitement or fear or surprise at the same point. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. I know the story is a true one.
Mr. Conway, have you yourself had any personal sightings or experiences of your own?
Yes, I have. In the 50 years I've been watching the skies, and I watch the skies even when I'm driving. Well, not all the time, but a lot of the time. I have had over 24 sightings of objects. I was in Ontario in 1966, east of Toronto, at a place called Pickering, and during the day I saw two objects in the sky, which actually looked like ball bearings. I watched them with binoculars for an hour and 15 minutes, and they were over a nuclear plant that was being built on the shores of Lake Ontario, a place called Bay Ridges at that time. During the period of this observation, one of the objects left in the across Lake Ontario in the direction of New York City, or New York State to be more accurate, and the other one in a clear blue sky literally vanished. 1 second it was there, and the next second it had gone. And I have no idea what these objects were. I phoned at that time the civilian airport, which of course is Malton. Oh, it was called Malton then. And they had nothing on radar, but they told me their radar was set for 10,000 feet. I phoned Downsview Airport, which at that time, 1966, was a military airport, asked them where I could send my report, and the Canadian Air Force had said publicly that they were not interested. They never went off the phone. They covered up their microphone. They gave me an address, box number address, the Royal Canadian Air Force, Lakeview, Ontario. I sent my report there in detail, and 2 days later got a telephone call. They were only interested in where did I get their address from, not what I had seen. And needless to say, I didn't tell them where I got their address from.
Did you ever eventually find out exactly what happened to that report?
Some years later, when the Freedom of Information Act came into play in Canada, I applied to Ottawa National Research Council, and I received 3 rolls of microfilm, which took me about 8 hours to go through each one. And lo and behold, on one of the rolls of microfilm, I found my own report listed. So they hadn't put it into the garbage. They had actually sent it to Ottawa.
Thank you very much once again, Mr. Conway. Unfortunately, we have to take a bit of a time out. We're going to get back to the country, and we're going to get back to speaking with Mr. Graham Conway, an internationally renowned ufologist, after these. Still on the phone line with me is internationally known and respected ufologist Mr. Graham Conway. He has been studying UFOs for the past 50 years, and he has appeared on TV shows everything from encounters to sightings and even unsolved mysteries, and now he joins us around the breakfast table this morning. Now, in your personal opinion, how many types of alien species do you believe to exist out there from all your interviews with people who claim to have had encounters?
Well, I have been pursuing specifically contact people who may claim to have had contact and abduction experiences for a period of about 15 years, the last 15 years. And judging from the reports that I have been provided with, I would say 3 to 4 different types of creatures or entities, whichever you prefer. Principally the gray types, the reptilian people, the very tall, human type people, and the robotic type, which from the reports that I have received are fewer in number.
Now, if there are that many types of alien species out there, why do you believe they have not attempted any kind of formal contact?
Well, maybe they're not interested in making formal contact. We tend to think that they may be here from the reports of people who have been involved. They give me the impression that they are merely being examined in a laboratory situation for the visitor's benefit, not for our benefit. It's rather like us maintaining a beehive or an ant farm for whatever purpose we may be doing an analysis or a study of these insects or these creatures or whatever we're looking at. We have no intention, we have no desire to communicate. It's not to our personal benefit. This may very well be true of these people. I have heard, I have met people who claim to have had conversations and tours of the craft, and certainly who am I to deny that that has happened? But nothing that would indicate that they are, that I have heard, that they are particularly interested in communicating with the leaders of our country or the leaders of our world.
Now, with all the hype surrounding Roswell, New Mexico, and the fact they have their 50th anniversary coming up, what is your reaction to the U.S. Air Force saying that it was nothing more than a parachute with a bunch of crash test dummies on it landing in the Mexican desert and not actually an alien spacecraft with little green space aliens inside?
That's correct. I saw the announcement on CNN describing what you have just made mention of, and apart from rolling around the floor doubled up with laughter for about 5 minutes, at a very serious level, I think the United States Air Force make themselves look very foolish. After this length of time and the explanations that they have previously offered, first of denial and then their genuine explanation that it was nothing more than a high-altitude balloon, and now they're coming out with this silly piece of nonsense about a crash dummy test. I think they just make themselves look ridiculous.
What is your personal opinion of the entire Roswell incident?
Well, I have spoken to Stanton Friedman, who has done a considerable amount of research in that area, and I think I quote him correctly when he said that he has spoken to and met with over 200 witnesses. Now, when you get this many pieces that fit into a larger jigsaw puzzle, you become very convinced that these people are telling the truth, especially when some of these people, these witnesses, have really nothing to lose and are very close to their deathbed. Why would they fabricate such a story? Many of them don't want to be named. They're certainly not seeking money or publicity. They're telling their part in a much larger incident that has caught the attention of the world. I think the event did actually take place, and based upon my own limited knowledge, I think it's one of many such events that have taken place.
Thank you once again, Mr. Conway, for joining us around the breakfast table. We were speaking with internationally renowned and respected ufologist, Graham Conway.